Is it selfish to be motivated by eternal rewards? That's what we're going to talk about in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. I am so excited about the series that we're currently in because it's based on a book that I wrote called Eternal Rewards. Let's go right to the Grace in Focus studios with Dr. Bob Wilkin, Sean Lazar, and me. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean.
Hi, Sean. And I'm Bob.
Well, Bob, I'm so glad to hear from you again. We're going through a series on the doctrine of eternal rewards, a neglected theme, but it really shouldn't be a neglected theme. It is a major theme in the Bible, and Lucas Kitchen has really brought this out in his new book, Eternal Rewards, It Will Pay to Obey, available at our website now, or on Amazon, or at his website, simplybelief.com. Thanks for being in the studio with us,
Lucas.
I only came in the middle of this conversation, but I think for some reason we're talking about shellfish
in
this episode.
No,
my favorite type of
selfish
seafood.
Selfish. Not shellfish.
Oh, selfish. That makes a lot more sense.
Our rewards, selfish, is the topic. What chapter is that in the book? Chapter 9.
It's chapter 9.
Selfish, question mark.
All right, so that's what some people would say, right? They'd say, if you're all about trying to live the good life, not because you love the person that you're loving, but because you want these rewards in heaven, isn't that a really selfish motivation? Isn't that an unrewardable motivation?
Years ago, I was teaching at Multnomah School of the Bible then. Now it's called Multnomah University. Earl Rodmacher invited in Bruce Wilkinson, then of Walk Through the Bible, to do a course, a short summer course on the doctrine of rewards over at Western Seminary. So I went over there, and it was interesting because one of the questions that Bruce Wilkinson asked, or he was asked, what if somebody gives money to a ministry and they're not particularly motivated about the ministry or whatever, they're just making a spiritual investment, and they give money to this ministry, are they going to get rewarded for that? Mm. And Bruce Wilkin was like, absolutely.
Yeah, why not? You know, this came up recently for me. I was helping a friend who was helping another friend. We were helping them get a new refrigerator. He had a friend that was in a tight spot, and we went and picked up this refrigerator. It was not real fun. It was difficult, and it sort of hurt our backs. And as we were driving back, my friend that I was working with, he said, hey, I'm really sorry to bring you in on this. I know this is probably not how you wanted to spend your afternoon. And I said, well, I'm just doing it for the reward in heaven. And when I said that, I noticed that he kind of, you know, had a funny look. I said, well, what do you think about that? What do you think about reward in heaven? He said, I've always felt weird about that. I've always felt like that might be a little bit shellfish, be a little bit selfish. And so we had this great conversation that followed where we talked about a few of these concepts that God has commanded us to be seeking reward, and also that it's a motivator, and that one that I love is that rewards will enhance our ability to glorify God in heaven. In fact, I think maybe we could jump into a few verses that sort of show some of these things. One is Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. It says, by faith, Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward.
Mm-hmm.
So Moses was motivated by some reward.
This is very interesting. Two things. First of all, motivation in the Christian life is extremely important, right? Jesus emphasizes this all the time. Christianity is more than about just outwardly obeying the rules. If that was enough, then the Pharisees would have been, you know, home run religious people, right?
Yeah.
But what were they accused of? They're accused of being whitewashed tombs. Mm-hmm. They look good on the outside, but their motivations were all wrong.
They're like dead bones.
Right. And so when Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount especially, when he was teaching about how Christians should live, he went right to the importance of motivations, right?
Yeah.
Don't even look at a person this way. Don't even get angry. You know, he was like, your outward behavior is important, but your inner disposition is even more. That's what God is really
judging. Circumcision of the heart.
The circumcision of the heart.
Wow.
Love is, are you seeking this person's good in your intentions?
Mm.
So that's extremely important. So are rewards selfish? I think that's an important question because motivations are extremely important in the Christian life.
Absolutely. And if people say rewards are selfish, their alternative is to say, if you work real hard, then you're going to get to go to heaven. Well, wouldn't that be selfish, too?
Right.
I mean, why wouldn't that be selfish?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, well, I'm trying real hard so I can make it to heaven. It seems like once I looked up the word selfish, because I've heard this question many times, and it has two basic meanings. Intent on personal gain and greedy at the expense of others. Mm. Well, if you mean intent on personal gain, yes, eternal rewards are selfish. But if you mean greedy at the expense of others, no. God's got all of the cattle on a thousand hills. He got plenty of rewards to give out.
See, I love that distinction you just made. I would say, maybe I put it this way, I've read this somewhere, there's a difference between self-interestedness and selfishness.
Yes.
I think selfishness has to do with greed. Think about people in this life who just, they bought their like 40th, you know, Rolls Royce, and they have their fifth mansion, and they have, they're basically just trying to gather, accumulate wealth for their own desires. There's perverted or kind of desires for mammon, right? That's not what we're talking about here. There is such a thing as godly self-interest.
Right.
You know, and self-interest is, well, you want for yourself what God wants for you.
Yeah.
And God wants you to have a rewardable life. It makes a difference, I think, here, the kinds of rewards that we're talking about. We're not talking about going to heaven so you can be fat and lazy and indulge the pleasures of the flesh. That's not what eternal rewards are, right?
No, absolutely.
Like you mentioned before, Lucas, eternal rewards are our ability to serve and bring glory to Jesus.
Yeah.
Wanting to bring glory and to serve Jesus and to enhance our ability to praise him is not selfish in terms of greedy. You know, that is greater service to the Lord. That's the opposite of selfishness. That's wanting to praise him and put the focus on him. That's what rewards enable you to do in the next life.
Yeah, that's good. You know, that sort of relates to the next verse I've got in this chapter. One of the things that I say to people when this comes up is, whether it's selfish or not, I don't know, but it's not sinful. And the reason why we can say that is, first, as we saw, Moses was motivated by rewards, as many others are. But Sean, as you just said, they also play a role in how we will interact and how we will glorify God in the kingdom which is to come. One verse that I think of on that subject is Ephesians 2, 6 through 7, which says, "And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." Now, in some sense, this is very true of all believers, that we will play a role in the kingdom to come. But what this says is that we will have a duty, we will have a job in the kingdom of heaven. And what it makes me think of is those rewards which we receive for our performance here today will be used in that role in glorifying God and living throughout the kingdom.
I'm just going to throw this out there. What kind of rewards are we talking about? So people think about rewards and they think, I'm going to have an extra big mansion. I'm going to have an extra big pool in the kingdom. I'm going to have like a real, are we talking about really fancy cars? I mean, what are these rewards?
Well, in future shows, we're going to get into delineating these more, right?
Yes.
But we could overview some of them now.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think it'd be great for Bob to answer it.
Thanks, Lucas. Well, there's lots of rewards. The biggest one, of course, it seems to me, is ruling with Christ. And ruling with Christ is not all or nothing. Some will rule over one city, five cities, 10 cities, whole countries.
That's Luke 19, 11 to 27
on the minas. Yeah, and you have other passages. But there's also a lot of rewards mentioned in the book of Revelation, like there's hidden manna, which is some kind of special dessert food. And you've got the tree of life, which is going to have 12 different fruits each year, which is for the overcomer. Special white garments, which are going to reflect the glory of Christ, and they're going to manifest his glory in your garments themselves. You remember Moses glowed every time after he met with Jesus, and it'd be something like that. And so there are a lot of rewards that believers will receive, even some jewelry, the special white stone.
So far, basically what we've laid out is that it's not selfish to seek rewards, first of all, because it's a great motivator. Second of all, because we have examples of those in Scripture that were motivated by rewards. Also, we saw that rewards we receive in the kingdom are for the kingdom. But I think there's another thing that's really important that we need to see here. And it shows up, and we've mentioned it already a few times, but it shows up in Matthew 6:20, where Jesus says, "Store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal." I mean, this is an imperative. This is a direct command that Jesus is giving to those who are listening to him.
Right. Before you said, you know, it's, I don't know if it's selfish, but I know it's not sinful.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you're not seeking rewards, what is sin? Sin is breaking God's commandments, right? That's one definition of sin. Yeah. If Jesus says, lay up treasure in heaven, and you're not doing that,
then
guess
that
what you're doing?
Sin, yeah.
You're sinning.
Yeah.
So not only is rewards not sinful, not seeking rewards is sinful.
Yeah, and he says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He wants us to set our heart on heavenly treasure.
So why wouldn't you be seeking rewards? It's because your heart is set on something else.
Wow.
And you know, the point is, if your tradition says that you shouldn't set your heart on heavenly treasure, change your tradition.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Change your mindset. Get a biblical mindset, because a biblical mindset knows the importance of rewards and lives the life, your life, so that you can be rewarded, so you can glorify Jesus.
Well, the other thing is, in this life, the treasures we lay up are subject to so many things. Moth and rust destroy, thieves break in or steal. How about we have a hurricane coming up to the coast of Louisiana, and it's going to flood much of the state? Yeah. Or how about we have hail damage? Sean just had his roof replaced. I mean, you know, we in Texas, we get this all the time. Cars decay. You got to pay for all the repairs on your cars. If you own a home, it's a hassle. They're constantly requiring attention. Everything we have in this life is decaying.
So why are we investing so much time and effort into these things?
We should neglect
of seeking eternal rewards.
Absolutely.
Well, let me just end with this thought. This series, I hope, is going to challenge you to read the Bible in a new light. I really encourage you to pick up this book by Lucas, Eternal Rewards It Will Pay to Obey. If you're being challenged by that book, because you need to develop a biblical mindset. If you're not seeking rewards, you need to repent of that and you need to start seeking them. If you think that's selfish, you need to repent of that mindset and you have to realize that God calls you to be self-interested. God wants you to glorify Him more. And the way you do that is to live a life of rewardability.
Amen.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for letting me join you on the show. I'm really enjoying it. Now, I know it's Friday, but there's more to come. We'll be back on Monday with another installment of this same series. Now, if you like what you're hearing, I hope you'll consider getting a copy of my book, Eternal Rewards. You can do that by going to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. You can either search the title or click on the button that says Store. I'd rather you do that because on the website, we have lots of books from lots of great authors. In addition, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature spiritually. You can get a free subscription to our magazine. You can get a free subscription to our podcast, a free subscription to our daily blog post, and much, much more. I hope you'll take advantage of it because it's there waiting for you. Now, maybe you'd like to become a financial partner with Grace and Focus. If that's the case, we would very much appreciate it. You can find out how to do that and much more at faithalone.org. Please, by the way, send us a message. Let us know how this show is impacting your life. You can reach out to us at our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. I hope you have a wonderful weekend of rest, relaxation, and worship. We'll be back on Monday to talk more about eternal rewards. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.